This call is being recorded.
Hi there, who just joined? Ram here and Mick is with me in the room.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, great. So I simply joined this meeting to observe. Button to mute myself.
Perhaps you could just briefly introduce yourself, and I'll go first. I'm Ram Jagadeesan. I work for Cisco, and I kind of lead the architecture work group.
And I'm Nick Bowman. I'm the biggest thorn in the side. How's that?
And yourself? Sorry, if you're talking, you may be on mute. Okay, sorry.
Saw that Hart canceled that.
Yes, Hart canceled, and he did not act for either this session or for the. Spinning wheel of death.
Hello, this is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. How's it going?
Morning, Tracy.
Create account.
Hi, this is Jay from IBM China.
Hi, Jay. Welcome to our group.
Thanks. And this is my first time joining this meeting. Actually, I am working, I started contributing to Fabric, like Hyperledger Fabric, since last month. So, fairly new. And this is my first time joining this architectural working group meeting. So nice to meet you guys. I wonder if there's a agenda or some document to track this meeting.
Yes. Why don't I post the links on the chat window here?
Hello.
Dan.
Where's Dan?
Hey. So given that Hart canceled the white paper meeting, do we know who else is going to be out?
I suspect, given that it's the day after the holiday, might have light attendance. I think maybe Hart is not available, I presume. But let's see. Give it a few minutes. Mick is here, actually, with me in the room.
Oh.
Stan, you're based in Chicago, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, I guess we can't invite you to these Bay Area meetups then.
Yeah, I feel like I'm missing out. Unless you want to video Skype me in.
Yeah, we can do that. If you're available, we can Skype you in.
Do you get out to the West Coast much?
No, I don't travel a whole lot. Just these conferences.
That's not a bad
and then,
thing.
Well, also, I would have probably traveled a whole lot more, but I got little kids and can't be away for too long.
So what do we have for topics for today?
Getting your credentials. So I guess the just given the thread that was going on, maybe just a quick recap of what we think about the consensus
separation
is top of mind for me just because of the whole Hashgraph conversation and the kind of thing that it simulated. So you know maybe. That's something that we can discuss briefly before going back to our standard agenda topics around.
Okay, that's a great idea.
The rest of the stuff.
So Stan, what's your take on the discussion that's been going on?
On the mail list?
Pulling, again, pulling out the intellectual property issues and focusing on the architectural issues.
Yeah. Well, I think agree with you that it's consensus is as a purely abstract module is extremely difficult to pull out, as a modular generic plugin. It's a nice goal to have. But I still think that there has to be some kind of I hate to use the word, but I'm going to say it anyway, framework for, what are the features, what are the, what's the interaction like with the consensus, what does it expect to interact with, kind of like in the way you were saying this dependency graph, right? Because even if we outline that, it may help not necessarily create this generic consensus framework, but have a guideline that integration with different consensus implementations would be much more streamlined. It's just a matter of harmonizing specific interfaces. As far as the peer review stuff, that was I thought very interesting discussion.
Let's table that one.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
a while. We
okay.
Need Hart here to have fun with that. Come on.
Probably pretty toxic topic.
This is one of those, just pull the tiger's tail and let him run. the modularity question, I think let me throw something out, which wasn't really obvious to me. When people say they want modular consensus, what are they really asking for?
I'll tell you what would be ideal, and what mm-hmm. we've been kind of talking about more or less here, right? Is that we have well-defined interfaces between that consensus module and the other modules that we have in the functions that we have defined, so that for instance, in the ideal case, we can actually plug in different consensus algorithms, protocols without having to do drastic changes in the rest of the system.
Okay, so now, that's the architectural view.
That's the architectural view. Let me
yeah,
add one
customer.
More point, right?
Yeah, okay.
So. Now, that's an ideal abstract kind of framework definition.
Right.
That doesn't mean that specific implementations choose not to implement with that ideal modularity in mind when they do that, because there might be other optimization benefits
right.
of doing. Now, we always have this layering modularity benefits versus cross-layer optimization benefits, right?
Exactly.
I mean, every protocol that we design, we kind of face this
forever.
Forever,
yes.
Right? This is not something new that we are finding here,
yep.
Right? So we do, you know, when we do these kind of architectural systems design things, we do have these abstract definitions which have benefits if we follow them in terms of decoupling the different functions
mm-hmm.
so that they can evolve somewhat independently. But, you know, that doesn't prevent folks who are implementing and building products and building solutions to then try to do cross-layer things that violate those
right.
layers because there is a compelling benefit to doing that. You just have to call it out and say, hey,
this is what
we're doing, right?
Yeah, we're drilling a hole here to expose something we need.
Yes,
so let me turn this around then. And from the customer's perspective, when we talk about modular consensus, what are they asking for? I mean, we as technologists are offering this up and saying this is a benefit of our architecture.
Okay.
But what are the customers really asking for? And Stan, maybe this is something you can help us with, given the things you're doing. I can postulate what is being asked for, but I doubt in most cases that it's more than we want to build our applications independent of the optimizations and then post-optimize based on the characteristics of the deployment. And that optimization process is being able to filter through storage solutions, consensus solutions, identity solutions. That was my take. What's
well, they're just
what are you thinking
the,
about?
So there are two parts to it. One is absolutely this, where you basically get the benefit of, well, modularity, right? You can independently work and improve other pieces as long as they follow the interface, the whole system gets the benefits. But I think it's more along the lines, because this is such a, well, in some ways, nascent field and everybody's exploring, all the consensus protocols have their own, you know, specialty, their own claim to fame, right? And I think when people start building the systems, at least, I guess, the more sophisticated crowd, they're looking for specific properties that are given, they're part of the consensus, right? So the best example, right, is always the proof of work, right? The proof of work is a leader election aspect of the Nakamoto consensus. And it has a very long list of extra attributes, extra benefits. So if you're going to use proof of work, you're going to do it. This is what's going to happen, and these are the trade-offs. If you want to use POET, well, these are the benefits, these are the trade-offs. But those are not just the consensus protocol benefits and, you know, pros and cons. They're actually, they impact the whole system. So if you're going to use PBFT, well, okay, here's how it's going to, the whole system is going to operate. So even if you operate the same smart contract platform or if you only switch out the consensus module, based on which consensus protocol you're going to use, the properties of the entire system change fairly dramatically. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking for. I don't know if that was clear.
I guess the other way to kind of think about it is that you might want to implement, you know, from a customer point of view, I guess, if they have a particular need, you know, and this is something that we've expressed at the white paper work group as well, right? I mean, depending on the scale of your network and, you know, the type of latency that you can tolerate and you have in your network, you know, you might choose the appropriate module, if you will, right?
Yeah,
but I'm saying outside of operational concerns. I think there are like even broader differences.
Can you be more specific? What do you mean by that?
So, like, one of the differences between, the trivial differences between PBFT and, say, Poet was that PBFT, well, actually, I don't know if it's a fair comparison to you, correct me if I'm wrong, was the performance. That with PBFT, you can achieve much bigger performance, much lower latency. Well, there's a whole lot of more difference between those two protocols than just that. I mean,
Yeah,
you
okay.
have
So there are many dimensions along which you can compare these things. So, for example, in my comment, PBFT is wonderful for performance, but it tends to be such a small number of nodes that it opens up a variety of new attacks that are relatively trivial on the architecture. So you may choose throughput as your most important characteristic, in which case PBFT is a useful algorithm, or you may choose resiliency to denial of service attacks, in which case Nakamoto consensus, one of the family of Nakamoto consensus algorithms, is probably a much better solution for you.
Right, and
And my message was just let's actually sit down and try to articulate the dimensions along which someone might the set of criteria that someone might bring to a selection of a consensus mechanism, create kind of a taxonomy of the solutions, and start with that before we start. Because
No, I
I
mean, I
think
think that.
that's what people are asking for, is I want to know, what am I going to get with each of these?
Yeah, you're right, absolutely. I think that would be a good one to kind of say which is most appropriate for a particular need, right?
Right.
But I think from an architecture perspective, what we probably need to define is, what is that functional description? And so far, the functional description we've defined is, at the abstract level, very clear, and it is both ordering and correctness that we are agreeing on, right? Right.
Yeah, which is, but that's not Marco's
That's
definition.
not Markov's definition.
Marco's definition is
This is
strictly
just
ordered,
ordering,
right?
right?
That's exactly right.
So, and I think, Vin, I don't know if you've actually joined. I see you listed coming up.
I
But it
just
seems to
did.
me,
I
hey,
just
Vin,
did. Hey guys.
welcome. Thanks for joining after a while. We've been missing you here.
Yeah, sorry, the storm of 1-0, it's been swept up our feet. So, yeah.
I'm surprised that you're able to take any time out from finishing that off. Those of us who've been through it have deep appreciation for what you're going through. How's that?
I'll tell you. Well, first of all, thank you, but it's been like crazy. It's been like crazy.
I understand. So what I was trying to say was that I think Fabric, they've appropriately named it the ordering service and not consensus. And I think that's the right name for what Marco was
Right.
talking about, right? So that
But
is just.
Marco still uses the word consensus
Which
in
I
his emails.
intended,
I think
yes.
Ben's been very good about calling it ordering service, as part of the architecture.
Right.
But even in the architecture doc, we talked about that the actual statement of correctness is provided by the smart contract layer. So
On
there
a
is.
transaction by transaction basis,
Right.
but we define the functional requirement for consensus as that it includes both ordering and correctness, and that it depends on the smart contract layer to determine that correctness.
So, Ben, may I ask you a question on that specific thing? Because this was going back to, what is our abstraction, right? And I was trying to figure out, the ordering service gives me a ordering of transactions. Then there's that sort of final step that checks for the double spends or conflicting transactions. Is there any point at which you have an abstract data structure that you log, which is just the ordering of correct transactions, or is that simply implicit in the post-processing that's done?
The implementation in Fabric is done in such a way that when we send a transaction or a message to the consensus or to the ordering, that's how I call it. I call it ordering service rather than consensus. So when we do that, the ordering service doesn't really know anything about this message. And because of that, the only thing they do is that they agree on the order so that they put together a block of these messages in that order, and they sign that and they send that out to those who are interested in listening on that channel. And that's very much it. And that is being logged on the orderer's node, and as well as on the peer's node, but the peer's node added to that additional validation, which you call to eliminate double spending. So the peers also does its own validation and inject into that whether the transaction is valid or not. And the peers are the only one who knows that this is a transaction or not. The orderers don't know. The orderers, all they know is a message.
Okay. So there is a final step, the double spend exists, but there's no global data structure, which is the log of correct transactions.
Yeah, there has to be, right?
No. There is. So that's part of the block. So when we receive, when the peer receives the block of the messages from the orderers, they will go through one by one in that order to validate each transactions, right? So they open up the message, interpret the transaction, and verify the results of the transactions and record whether it's valid or not. In the case of double spending, if they detect double spending, then of course, the subsequent transaction would not be valid. And that will be recorded on that transaction on that block.
But the peers don't then turn around and broadcast the results of that computation back out to everybody else, right?
In the current implementation, no. In the current implementation, because currently we assume that is completely deterministic, but there's a work item out there that's coming very soon to do that validation we call checkpoint.
By the way, is there anything besides transmitting it at least in the next block? Do you have like a root hash of the correct transactions that you can use to verify, or even that is missing?
Yeah, we have the hash of the block that chains together, so the thought there is that we would be able to send the hash to broadcast the hash of the block to other peers within the channel based on some kind of policy.
So that becomes a subset. Well, it's a subset of the block rather than the full. It's just the channel.
Well,
they have separate
So within the channel, the blocks. Within the channels, all the participants in that channel would receive the blocks, and really that's all they care about. If they participate, if some peers participate in multiple channels, then certainly they care about the blocks between multiple channels and may affect each other, but. Otherwise, the channel become an isolation kind of mechanism in which the peers only worry about the blocks on that channel.
So should we really think about channels as separate blockchains?
Yes, you could think about it as a separate blockchain, except that it reuses the same resource, the same definition, and so on.
And so just to make sure that our understanding is correct, right? So currently you're saying the Fabric case implementation, you are assuming that the post-ordered validation is deterministic. So you assume that all the peers are going to end up with the same set of nodes. And did I understand that even the so if they're doing the correction, do they compute the root hash based on the corrected block, or are they computing the root hash on the ordered set, which may contain invalid transactions?
So the hash contains all the transactions that the peer receives from the orderer.
Okay.
Which includes
right.
The invalid transactions. Okay. So and so you have a roadmap item to figure out how to kind of
there's a Jira item out there, been out there for a while. To do that last whether we call it consensus or we call it validation checkpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, this was one of the things that I was a little concerned about in coming back with sort of a universal definition of consensus, right? What is it on which we are developing consensus? Because in many of our in our architectural proposal here, we've sort of assumed that it was consensus on a chain of valid transactions,
correct?
Order set of valid transactions.
Yes.
And it sounds like Ben is moving the fabric architecture in that direction as well.
Yes.
And then the ordering service need not be, because of the architecture fabric, the ordering service need not be perfect because of the post-validation step.
Yeah, so I would assume from our definition of consensus, it is all of these put together.
Right.
I think the ordering service is a subcomponent which we haven't called out explicitly. Some other, like if you implemented using Poet or something else.
The leader election in Poet is really just an ordering service, right? I mean, it's the leader gets to say, this is what the order is going to be for the next block. And as you pointed out, there is a process by which everybody else says, okay, was this really a correct block? And we may throw it out, though it was proposed through the normal means. So I think one of the differences, and maybe this is just a difference in granularity, is Ben's throwing out transactions, we throw out any blocks that have invalid transactions in it, and request a new block at that point.
Yeah. So, but either way, if you, at the abstract level, if you're saying at the end of the consensus process, you know, you have a way of agreeing on a block of valid transactions.
Right.
The ordering service being separate from a post-validation step or some other mechanism, we need to call out that's the functional requirement, and we need to call out what are the interfaces, right? How do the transactions get in? How are they, what is the dependency and the interface between that and the other modules?
So Ben, just a quick question on this. So the implication from this is that you have a potential for a one block rollback, right? That if two sets of peers commit two transactions which roughly correspond to a double spend, so one of those transactions is marked invalid, the peers that computed that transaction need to roll that transaction back and adopt the other one. Is that correct?
Yes, potentially when we implement this validation checkpoint.
But so will there
what happened now is this, because the transactions are in order, right? Every peer receives exactly the same block, execute these and validate these transactions in exactly the same order. So if there's a double spent, then they always invalidate the second transaction.
Any peer that had originally computed that second transaction has to roll the state back to the beginning of that block.
That wasn't committed, right? That was a pending block.
That was pending, right? When we commit the whole block.
What I mean is roll back in the sense that you've done the computation, you've modified the state.
It wasn't committed.
Code, but it's not committed, so you have to roll back that application and.
Yeah, and it's not, you don't have to roll it back because you never committed it. It depends on what your mental model, right?
Sure.
From the rollback in my mind is that, the peer, once they agree that transaction is not valid because of double spending, then in our implementation, all they have to do is mark that transaction as invalid.
Right. But any Docker image has to be that's been modified or has its state modified has to go back and then recompute.
Uh, Correct. In the case that some of them that is way far ahead.
So right, if you've got that, a Docker image that's computed, say, three or four right. transactions, and it hasn't committed those transactions, it may have to go back to its pre-commit state and then reapply transactions moving forward.
Okay.
So you really have to be careful of believing the results. So optimistic computation, what you want to do is continue to perform modifications on that Docker image within a single block.
Right. There's a lot of times. I mean, and I'm sure you've done the analysis on this. We see lots of batches on a particular. There's a lot of locality in transactions, right? So you want to do optimistic application of those if you can. But in the case where you have parallel things happening, you may have to undo. You may have to go back to the beginning of that and then reapply things.
Yeah, I guess
from the beginning, if something gets invalidated.
Yeah. In the Bitcoin world, it's like a mempool kind of effect where, you know, at the end of the day, if you're not the winner,
right.
then whatever you've done is thrown out.
Right.
And you're just validating whatever the leader proposed.
Correct.
Right. In the Fabric case, I guess they're doing a simulation of sorts.
Well, we didn't.
Well, yeah, except that these are, there's a big difference because the Bitcoin transactions, every transaction is relatively low.
That's right. Yeah.
Potentially with the chain code transactions, those are fairly sophisticated operations. I mean, you're modifying the state of a VM.
Yeah.
Right. That's a better way of conceptualizing it. That every transaction is modifying the state of a VM. And those modifications can be substantial. If they aren't today, they will be a year from now. How's that?
Yeah, so the question is whether each peer would, like Mick said, whether it's, you know, the optimized, optimistic commitment, or it would have to wait for, you know, the slowest peer in the loop to catch up.
Exactly.
It really depending on how we decide to implement this feature. But it could be the case that if in the case of optimistic, then yes, they would have to roll always back to the previous block and then restart over again.
So I think we're on the same page on this.
So currently, when you do what you call quote unquote simulations, is that an optimistic execution already? And do you kind of use that state that you've kind of quote unquote simulated?
Right. Yeah. So today, when the chain code is executed in a simulated environment, that nothing is committed until the block is committed. But all of that has happened locally. Right. All of that's happened local to that peer from the time the transaction received until the time the transaction committed as part of some block coming from the orderers. But now, you know, we're tossing the case that now the peer, after the validation, they would need to check with each other. The validation checkpoint, they would need to check with each other. Now, the question is that whether they wait for each other to be on the same block before moving on to the next block, or using optimistic and say that, you know, I'm sending out a request for this validation for this block, right, block I. But in the meantime, because I'm very fast, I move to block I plus one and I block plus two and so on, while the queue that is waiting for the checkpoint is lagging behind and could lag behind n blocks, for example, right? And at some point, you know, block I is being validated and assuming that block I, say, you know, is not validated by the quorum there in that channel, what would the peer do at that point, right? The peer would have to go back to that block I and, you know, roll back from I to N and then restart at I again. It's like building forks in Bitcoin, right? So you end up with many different branches, and whichever branch went out at the end, that's the branch that we resume and build on top on that branch and remove the rest of other branches.
Right, but the big difference between Fabric and Nakamoto is once committed, always committed in Fabric.
Yep.
Right.
Right. So we can differentiate between
finality on commit, right?
Yeah, simulation and finality, right?
Right.
We can differentiate where you can't differentiate that on Nakamoto consensus.
That's right.
Right, it's probabilistic.
Right. And to a degree, yeah, I guess that's true of even Poet.
Yeah, well, Poet is Nakamoto. Okay. Again, there are pros and cons to Nakamoto.
So I think our definition of consensus in my mind is a complete one from how I interpret it in our implementation. It's just that, you know, we treat what so-called consensus in literature out there, especially from folks like Marco and Christian, is that consensus is only ordering, and that's why we call that ordering service instead of consensus service.
I think I meant to respond to Marco's email, but
I'm not a theoretical Byzantine fault tolerant algorithm or protocol developer. I'm more interested in, do I get the agreement on a set of correct transactions?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I understand Marco's position on it, and it's consistent with the literature does not care about the semantics of state transactions.
No, I think it's right? Just assume it's deterministic.
Tolerant.
Yes. And that there are no faults in the execution layer, which is some of the newer research is trying to take that into account, but the classic literature
doesn't.
Right. So I think it's just the academic research background. But you're absolutely correct in making clear that it's an ordering definition and not consensus. As for our practical purposes, we need to make sure that consensus includes both, right?
Well, and what I would say is, I mean, I would describe Fabric right now, it is a consensus protocol around correctness, but it's a composition. It does it by a composition of ordering and deterministic execution of the transactions, right?
Right.
And post-validation.
Well, and more post-validation to come, right? And it's not complete yet, it looks like, but it will be there, right?
Yeah.
So your intent is to end up with what we define here as a full consensus, right?
Right, absolutely.
So I guess the question is, given that we are all seem to be on the same page, have we, you know, how do we kind of go about defining those interfaces? And is that in a clear enough way so it's useful, right? And do it in an abstract way that so it's not dependent on, you know, Fabric's implementation or you know, whatever else, right?
Hey, gentlemen, let us hear all about background noise. I can't get rid of it. But I think everything we've said, really, we've got to describe it at that level of detail, so it is comprehensive to understand what the true capabilities of the consensus platform or component provides. So I think everything we're all talking about is the same thing. And how do you then include that right level of detail to show exactly what the capabilities are, which would be combination of ordering as well as what's the other capability? Part of that consensus. Exactly. So these two and how they work. So literally, each would then provide that level of abstraction where there is sufficient detail to understand exactly what it does based on its capabilities. So we'll take it as a function high level and then stipulate what the capabilities are, what it actually does. The abilities will be ordering, and the second one is I haven't had any coffee today, so do forgive me, I'm very forgetful. So yeah, I think we start at that level where we actually specifically outlay the capabilities and describe what they do and how they work together in terms of providing the authority. Then it's clear to its use and how basically it would serve one purpose as opposed to another. But based on what I understand, so that's my input.
Yeah, I would really love to see us in the position paper that Greg has been working on, right, around consensus, really be more specific in defining what our current mechanisms are in the different frameworks, right? Because I think the only way for us to probably come up with these interfaces is to really understand what we have today so that we can define a vision for where we want to go and help us then define the roadmap for how we get there.
So that goes back to okay, so we've made a big jump, Tracy, with that statement, or at least it sounds like. Back from the discussion I think Ram was trying to have, which was sort of leading us to making sure we're consistent on the modularity and the interfaces to the customer benefit side of things and the sort of discriminators between and differences between. And it seems to me like both of these activities, both the identifying commonality and identifying distinctiveness are required, but they have very different audiences. The commonality, the purpose of the commonality is to allow those of us who are building the systems to enable others to come in and replace modules, replace, update, modify modules as easily as possible. Where I think the distinctiveness is really targeted at customers or users of these platforms who are trying to make a decision about what approach they want to use.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think both are important, right?
So I think a little bit of the modularity in the position paper that Greg's working on would be good. But I think because of the audience, targeting that one at the distinctiveness would probably be a good thing. Whereas what should go in the architecture document should be focused more on the commonality and less on the distinctiveness.
Okay, so that I think is maybe a difference of opinion about what this document is that Greg's creating. And specifically, my thinking, just so that you know, was that these documents that are being created are basically chapters that would end up going into the final architecture paper. But what it sounds like you're saying is that you expect the architecture paper to have completely or maybe not completely different, but at least additional information than what the papers that Greg is suggesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm just suggesting that we have two very different audiences, and being clear about who our audience is will guide what position we take on and the approach we take for describing it.
Yeah, I mean, we can have that discussion separately around, you know, how to tailor
which for which
and so forth. But I think it's a good point to capture, you know, who for which of those documents, who's the audience, and kind of.
So almost a year ago, I was just looking through the notes because I remember I referred to this pretty frequently. We outlined like a 6 steps what consensus would go through, if anyone remembers. Right? There's select initial state, viability test, compute state deltas, order, independence of updates, commit. So aren't these kind of the... Didn't we identify
those are the ones that I think everybody has some version of, right?
Right.
So we're rehashing the old stuff.
Yeah, but because back then, kind of, Mick and Ben agreed that the difference that these are the steps. The difference was in like steps 2 and 4. They're in different order. So in a way, that was the distinctive feature. But all the elements are there. So if we're talking about the architectural...
The other thing that's unique is the positioning of those elements in the deployment.
Yeah. So
that's another characteristic that's unique. But the 6 elements exist there, right? I mean,
but that isn't architectural concern, like the deployment?
It's deeply concerning because it affects a lot of the other things and how you do it. So the ordering service and... for Fabric is a completely distinct element. The ordering and validation are equally distributed in Sawtooth. That has significant implications for resiliency to attack, for example. It also has significant implications for performance.
So, you know, I guess Fabric is also moving towards a distributed implementation, right? I mean, there's a PBFT thing coming.
Well, okay. We're still talking about a discussion of degrees.
Yes. Yes.
Unless Ben's fund finally discovered a way to get PBFT to extend to 1,000 nodes.
Sure.
In which case, he's going to be famous for many other things.
Somebody already did that, but I didn't even finish the paper. I finished reading the paper.
So coming back to the, we've done some of this in the past. Have we fleshed out the interface definition, or do we need to revisit it? The functional requirements, I think we've already done it, which is what Stan was pointing out from stuff that we talked about nearly a year ago. The question is, do we have a clearly enough defined interface?
This is really nice about, being physically in the same room, because I can, say, Ron. One of the things I think would be good for this discussion is to pull out and summarize what we've come up with. And what I mean is the discussion in the mailing list, right? We do come back and propose a concrete definition for what consensus is, for the components of the consensus, that allows us to sort of focus the discussion rather than having it scatter to the winds. Can we pull out from the architecture spec the right set of discussions and just basically say, this is the architecture working group's position on what consensus is, mm-hmm. what the components of consensus are, what we are trying to achieve with consensus.
Sure.
And then use that as sort of a common definition around which we can start.
Okay, so let's just revisit that.
So Stan's six steps that he was talking about.
Is that in the notes, Stan?
It's in the notes from July 26th last year.
Let's just make sure we are still all on the same page. July 26th, 1 year later. There we are again. Good thing we have all these notes captured.
This is from face to face.
Yeah, this was from the hack at the one in San Francisco, right?
Yep.
So interestingly enough, I did a diagram for consensus to try and include in the Greg's positioning paper without knowledge of kind of what exists here. I think that might help, is if we can put that diagram together. I think mine also had six steps. I'm not sure if they're exactly the same as these six steps, but they look very similar to these six steps. So. Maybe I'll find that drawing and at least get the link in here for you guys to take a look at.
Yeah. And I think this should be incorporated in the architecture document as well. Right?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm struggling to find out where I put this thing. There we go. Like I said, I am not sure that it is exactly the same. It might be missing some steps, but it is at least a representation of what I think we're talking about.
Hey, did you post your notes in the
chat? Yeah, so, sorry, I didn't put it in the chat. I put it in the meeting notes, but let me put it in the chat here too. I was worried about putting it in the chat the last time I did this, just for warning before anybody clicks it. People got kicked out of Uber Conference, so yeah, I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, if you're running Chrome, do an open a new window instead of just clicking on it, because if you just click on it, it will take you there and you'll get booted. Figure that one.
All right. When, Tracy, when can we move back to WebEx?
Please. Soon.
Yeah, I think WebEx is probably out of the question. As another possibility, we could talk about Zoom. And please let me know if you guys don't have permission to that. I
was able to open it.
Okay, great. I mean, I'm happy to change this document and this drawing in any way. This was without kind of the knowledge of what you guys had already discussed, so.
That's the write-up that you have there on the side is a very Nakamoto write-up. It would be a little different for Fabric.
Okay.
How do you read this? I just get one page look like the diagram.
Yeah, so the diagram's there, but in my comment, I think is the what Mick's referring to, right? Where I just kind of tried to write out each of these steps.
Okay, this is probably off topic, sorry. Ben, what's the current status of endorser policies?
What do you mean by status? Whether it's implemented or not?
Yeah, how sophisticated are the policies?
It's too sophisticated.
Okay. You say not too sophisticated?
It's too sophisticated that it's become a... an area where it's causing too much problems. So currently, the engine in the back is really support any kind of combination, but from the front, especially from the SDK and from CLI, we only simplified it to only enable AND OR. So those are the only two combinations. So you can AND OR together things, but nothing else. So that's the current status. But with that, it's actually quite powerful. So you can say, two out of three signatures, for example, or explicitly of the following explicit signatures. So any combination is quite flexible at this point.
So I guess in the notes, we talked about selecting initial state, viability test, compute state deltas and set of events, order, verify independence of state updates, viability correctness of the blocks, commit transactions and fire events. I'm not sure we use the same language in the architecture document. I think we have kind of elaborated on it. Now that we're looking at it a year later, and just comparing it with what we have in the architecture doc.
you just copy paste that functional description of the consensus layer from 7.26.
What we have is in the architecture docs is confirms the correctness of all transactions in the proposed block according to endorsement and consensus policies. Agreement is on order and correctness and hence on execution of our interfaces and depends on smart contract layer to verify correctness of an ordered set of transactions. Provides proofs, hash of global state to allow late joining or out-of-sync nodes to catch up. Supports interfacing of eventing function to support events associated with committed transactions and block-level events. This does not go into the things that are missing from there are computing state deltas.
Right, the process through, which is, and that's the functional description of processes, was the earlier one. Select the initial state, viability test, compute delta, order, verify independence, and then commit. I think both of those are useful.
Okay.
What I'm saying is we as the architecture group should take advantage of this opportunity and assert what the definition should be.
But
assert what the process
and I guess the clarity was, you know, we wanted to define what needs to happen, not how it needs to happen.
Correct.
And leave it to the implementations to kind of talk about how, right? So, and I think that's what we were trying to peel off from what we described here to what we want to put in the architecture document, right?
I think that's exactly right.
So that if I recollect from how we wanted to, so we need to make sure that we are still focused on in the architecture describing what the functional description as opposed to the design and the how. Are we still happy about that, or do we want to refine that?
It's fine to me. Ben, what's your thought on it? Sam?
I think it's a great summary. And these steps are exactly, they're functional, right? They're not implementation specific.
Are you talking about those six steps? Or are you talking
both,
about
both the description? Both the description and the steps.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it a little bit more, you know, the next steps, right? So transaction comes in.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming on every node, right? So are we prescribing that each transaction we actually select the initial state and compute the, you know, the, do the viability test and compute the state deltas? What are we?
For some batch. Wow, a block is just a batching operation. You know, we suddenly discovered that we can optimize sets of transactions by putting them together in a batch. Okay, lovely. I would say that's how we started, right? Is it select an initial state, select a batch of transactions, apply that batch in order to compute a state delta. The batch size may be one, the batch size may be n, depending on what your implementation is. Then you hand all of that stuff over and you say order it. Then you come back and you make sure that there weren't any weird conflicts on it, and then go from there.
Right.
So I would just say batch instead of single transaction.
So the initial state for this goes into some of the discussions we were getting into at that time, right? This, mm-hmm. We probably need to revisit. In a sense, there are.
Are we losing people? We're at 10 o'clock. We're at 10.
Yeah, I definitely have to drop.
All right. So, Tracy, is it okay if we continue on for a little longer, given Hart's meeting is canceled?
You want to continue on the Hyperledger community? Fine. I will mute everything and take my other Uber conference call from my phone.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Guys, are you able to stay on? Feel free to stay on for a little bit, and then if most people drop, then we'll figure out if there's alternate way we can continue chatting here.
Yeah, I can stay.
We can certainly continue on our channel, Slack channel.
Yeah.
I mean, chat channel.
So I think at least we have this this forum available for another hour because you know it was supposed to be the white paper working group, but I think Hart canceled, so you can stay on if you're available. So where I was going with was that there was the notion of dependent transactions which are all pending, right? So I think Tamash was bringing about that you know you have. You know, trading transactions which might depend on each other, they're all not committed yet, right? So what is the initial state and the state deltas? You know, the simplifying assumption is that the previous committed state is always the initial state, but then how do you handle dependencies between pending transactions, which is the typical double spend kind of even double spend or other, you know, valid dependent transactions as well.
Right? Yeah, and I think this is one of, and Ben and I have had this conversation about, we use explicit dependencies, and I don't know how they're managing dependencies.
Yeah, I think the MVCC paradigm, I guess, is what my understanding is, right?
Yeah, it's not quite UTXO, but, because that has other semantic implications, but every transaction operates in the set of explicit dependencies.
Explicit dependencies right. In your case. Okay.
So a set of transactions can say, order, even though I'm not going to tell you what's in the transactions, you must apply them with the following ordering constraint. Right. So the ordering service has to respect the explicit dependencies. So if I send you two transactions, the ordering service, if there's no dependency between them, then the ordering service can pick a dependency. Can pick an ordering, but if there's an explicit ordering between them, then the ordering that the ordering service does has to respect that dependency.
Yeah. So when we say select an initial state, what is that? What do we mean by that?
I think, like I said, it's usually previous state, but it doesn't have to be, right? Each implementation would provide the exact mechanism for specifying at which state to apply the transaction,
Or to be more precise, it is the state of the ledger as reflected by some identifier for that state.
Yeah. So.
So, for example, it can be what is the block in which I am. What is the block at the head of the chain in which I am operating on these transactions? Because that becomes an identifier for all of the things that have happened in the past. Or what is the current hash of the state?
So it's clear if it is committed state, right? The question is if you're talking about transactions.
You do an optimistic execution. Yeah. And again, for us, the way that we do it is it is just the hash of the state or the set of transactions. So again, with the explicit dependencies, I can root something in a block, execute a series of transactions optimistically, and simply point each transaction at the previous one. And that gives me a way of identifying exactly what the state is that I'm operating on.
Okay, so that's an implementation specific thing, right? So the question is,
yes.
When from a functional requirement, when we say select initial state, are we talking about even optimistic execution, in which case then we're talking about for the transaction within a block, then it is it's specifying the initial state.
Well, like, you know, in Fabric, I remember we have to make that decision. the initial state, whether to allow read your own write or not. The current implementation and probably is going to stay that way is that, you know, we decided not to allow you to read your own write, meaning that you can only read committed state, but the temporary state that available locally on the peer is not visible to the new transaction. So the transaction came in. Say, you know, there was a previous transaction that read value X and changed value X, you know, to X plus one. The second transaction came in, would not see that X had been increased by the previous transaction because it had not been committed yet. So that's what we meant by, you know, cannot read your own right that has not been committed. So that's the kind of
your own right. You cannot read pending transaction state.
Right. So that's the kind of initial state decision that from implementation would need to make decision on. And, you know, I remember that's how we make decision on one way or another.
Okay, so you're just saying, let's define that you're going, wow, so then.
There's another thing, and I think that's what Mick alluded to, is that you could decide that the initial state is based on the block number, right, block height. So say, you know, the application might be able to submit a transaction, say this transaction must be depending on, you know, block, you know, number 1, 2, 3, right? That's a block height. And so, you know, the transaction would be executed at that block. Consider, you know, the inputs for that transaction from that blocks and the previous blocks, but not anything in the future.
Right, I hadn't idea. Because sometimes for simplification, we can come up with what's called collaboration diagrams or sequence diagrams. And one, if we could draw up a sequence diagram based on what Ben and everyone else is saying, that would still provide that higher level of clarity from someone to follow based on the sequences of operations in terms of state changes and how the sort of objects can between them in terms of the process steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I'm wondering if that might help clarify exactly what should happen as a sequence diagram. And you know what they say, a picture tells a thousand words. So not just my input there, okay?
So you're suggesting that, you know, perhaps at some point we should figure out how to do sequence diagrams and so forth. And the challenge is, you know, can we still stay at the what? Usually when we come to sequence diagrams, we kind of muddy the water between the design and the functional specifications. We just have to make sure if that's valuable to kind of make sure that we are still talking about what needs to be done. What I'm understanding is that there are multiple ways of defining the initial state. And as long as there is some, for each transaction, if you clearly state what you have assumed as the initial state, you know, then you're going to end up with different behavior in terms of optimistic execution and so forth, depending on, you know, are you including any optimistic, you know, intermediate states in that initial state, or whether you're just including previous committed state? You just have to make it clear what that dependency is, and you know, different implementations can choose to do that differently. So you just, from at a transaction level, you have to specify an initial state. Right. The committed state, or it could be like the way you've implemented it, some kind of.
We conceptually have three different paths, and the orderings are essentially layered on top.
Someone's line is very busy, very noisy. I can't really hear.
Ben, could you please mute if you're not talking?
Liner. There we go.
Thank you. So we think of three different graphs, right? The top level graph is the explicit dependencies between the transactions. And in this case, it's important for us because we're doing more complex dependencies with state combination. So that gives us a semantic level ordering of the graphs. The second level is the graph of transactions. And the transactions, there has to be a consistency between the two, but it doesn't have to be an exact match, right? So if you commit a transaction that is in the future,
of one of the transactions you have at the semantic level, then that's sufficient because it encompasses the right ordering. So the transaction ordering is what the ordering service would give you, ultimately. And then the final level is the block ordering, right? So that at some level you can create this kind of single total ordering if you want it, or you can generalize it that way. And that's how we provide both semantic and operational ordering for the dependencies between state and allow the ordering service to operate as Ben's doing in Fabric with less knowledge about the actual details of the transactions.
Okay. So select initial state, you're saying, okay, there's different ways to doing that as long as you specify it. Viability set, that is left completely up to the smart contract to say that's viable, right? Compute state deltas and set of events. So set of events is clear. State deltas, you know, we need to kind of say this is an interface between the consensus layer and the smart contract layer. How do we specify state deltas?
I think interface-wise, we were saying that, kind of following what Ben was saying, that it's the simulate function. It's where we try to apply it, but do not actually commit it. I think somewhere where we kept using the simulate language.
This is less interesting for Fabric, or less difficult for Fabric, than it is for any of the ones that are doing Nakamoto. This is where the sort of implications affect storage architecture. Mm-hmm. Because there's a clear distinction between committed and speculative,
optimistic.
Yeah, once it's committed, you can commit just the final state because you'll never roll back beyond that. So a state delta is really against a current or the most recently committed version. So it's relatively easy to just have two copies, right, which is my optimistic and my committed version. With Nakamoto consensus, because rollback can be much deeper and much more complex, we essentially keep around, we construct state as a set of deltas with a cached version, which is the accumulated set of deltas for a given block. So the storage architecture is much more complicated. So state deltas are different in their implementation, depending on the style of consensus that you're going to require. They exist for both, but the implementation is pretty different.
Okay. So when we say state delta, I guess in the Fabric sense, it's the actual write set?
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
And for us, there's an optimistic version, which is we just have essentially the current binding of the key value store that's behind the transaction family. And because of the structure of that, it allows us to actually have multiple instances of that state that you can go back on a per block basis. So it's a copy on write kind of approach.
Okay. So the reason why I wanted to drill down to the, are we all comfortable with this process as descriptive of what needs to happen that we can include in the architecture explicitly as opposed to the more abstract lingo that we currently have?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think so. And that's certainly aid in understanding when someone try to read a document.
Okay. All right, sounds good. So at least Mick and I are planning to stick around, and maybe the first thing we should do is to write this up cleanly in terms
mm-hmm.
of
I think that would be a really
description description, potential interface, and you know, what else we need? There's functional description, and the interface definition between this and everything else, right? At least at the abstract ideal case, without going into the optimization, cross-layer optimization so far. So how do we want to do this? We want to wrap up this call and try to set up a Google Hangout. We want to continue on this. Are others, do they have the time and interest to join?
I have 4 messages on my phone already to join.
Get on to the next thing, Ben. Come on. Hey, you got a product to release. What are you doing on the phone?
That's right. Hopefully it will be out soon. So
okay.
Talk to you guys next time.
All right. See ya. We hope you can spend more time with us going forward, because we really, the whole discussion, and the progress that we can make is much better when we have full representation.
Yeah, that definitely can only be better from here on out. So.
All right. Awesome.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Ben, are you hanging around, or?
I'm getting pings too. So,
So, but why don't we do this? We'll just do this offline, and we'll put it back on email and on chat, and we'll talk about it, or we'll have the discussion over email, which is a better place to do it as well.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'll work.
Right.
Thanks. So you guys are planning to just write up the definitions, basically, for those 6 steps?
Yes. We already have the starting point in the architecture document. We're going to incorporate the 6 steps into it. And I think we have a very loose definition of the interface. We probably need to tighten that up.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
I was looking at the doc, and it seems that some of the steps were being described in a lot of detail, and some were just skipped altogether, so...
Hey, Stan, could I ask one thing from you?
Yep.
Going from the other side, from the distinctiveness side, could you send me what you think are some interesting dimensions along which we should be looking at the distinctiveness? I mean, I threw out a couple of mine in that email message, but I've got a bunch of others, and it'd be nice to be able to have that list as well. Start building that list.
So basically the properties, the dimensions.
Finality, distribution and decentralization, performance, throughput, things like that.
Absolutely.
Because of your connection to the customers, I think your insights would be deeply valued. How's that?
You're the voice of the customer here.
Well, in some circles, it's not necessarily a good thing. Well, rather not exactly a compliment. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, Dan. I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thanks. We're
gonna
help you.
Hey, thank you, guys. Okay, bye.
Well, I've been sitting here all day. I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends. Yes, I'm waiting on this conference call. All alone, and I'm on hold. Yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day. Well, I wonder where they are. Yes, I wonder where my friends have gone.
Where'd they go?
Tell me, where could they be?
point is ruined. The waiting time is cooling. And truly there's so many other things I could be doing, like crochet or knitting. Oh, I'm not kidding, man, the waiting's frustrating and my patience is waning. Any longer than they all will soon discover. This here's my last call, no, there won't be another. I'm over it, gonna give them all a piece of my mind.
Oops, you've been on the line this entire time? Stay on the line. Oh, now, oh, now.
Don't go away. Yeah. Don't go away now.
Don't go away.
Don't go away now.
Just stay on
time. Don't go away now.
Don't go away.
I don't know.
morning's ruined. The waiting time is grueling, and truly there's so many other things I could be doing, like crochet or knitting. Oh, I'm not kidding, man, the waiting's frustrating, and my patience is waning. Any longer than they all will soon discover. This here's my last call, no, there won't be another. I'm over it, gonna give them all a piece of my mind.
Oops, you've been on the line this entire time? Best day on the line. Oh, now, oh, now.
Don't go away, yeah, yeah. Don't go away now.
Don't go away.
Don't go away now.
Best day on time.
Don't go away now.
Don't go away.
I don't know.
The waiting time is grueling, and truly there's so many other things I could be doing, like crochet or knitting. Oh, I'm not kidding, man, the waiting's frustrating, and my patience is waning. Any longer than they all will soon discover. This here's my last call, no, there won't be another.